The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2010 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2010. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the Internet. If you would like to find out more about the work of ACCS, please visit our website at www.accsedu.org. To order additional talks from this conference, please visit the ACCS website and click on Conferences. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Welcome to our presentation this morning, Lessons from a Latin Diva. Salveta omnes. Good morning, everyone. My name is Joan Middleton. And my assistant at the computer is Betsy Bates, my dear sister in Christ, who's helping with the PowerPoint this morning. Let's start our session with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we consecrate this time together to you. May you be glorified as we encourage one another to fulfill with joy the calling which you have given us. And may we respond fully to the promptings of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome. We as classical Christian educators proclaim joyfully the sacred word of God. We rejoice that we're a part of this wonderful light that shines in the darkness. And more so, that the darkness of this world has not overcome that light, the beacon of a Christ-centered classical education. Deo gratias, to God be the glory. And so we educators are bearers of the word in many senses. We bear the gospel, the good news of Christ, in our daily lives. And we use words to communicate the truths in the subjects we teach. As we begin this morning, I'd like to introduce you to one of our third grade classes. They committed to memory part of the Gospel of John in Latin and in English. And I'd like you to hear their words this morning.
Together.
In principio erat verbum, et verbum erat apud Deum, et Deus erat. Hoc erat in principio apud Deum. Omnia per ipsum facta sunt, et sine ipso factum est nihil, quo factum est. In ipso vita erat, et vita erat lux hominum. Incipit secundum Johannem, where su unum per quator.
In English.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. John 1:1-4.
Now, I'd like to discuss with you all today some links from antiquity to the present day. Reasons why we study Latin, especially at the elementary or grammar stage. And I'd like to give you some practical things to walk away with, some practical grammar applications where you can link your presentation of English grammar to Latin grammar, some supplemental activities that I've used through the years that have been very helpful in my instruction. And I'd like to give you a picture of what our daily instruction looks like at Carey Christian in Latin class. Please save your questions to the end of the presentation, and I'll attempt to address those. If we run short of time, the handout you received has a Gmail address at the bottom, and that's an account that we created especially for questions about Latin. So feel free to email me, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. At Cary Christian School, we've been teaching Latin since 1996. Our basic materials haven't changed much through the years. We started with the Wilson Primers 1, 2, and 3 for the younger students. For the older students, for a brief period, we used Latin for Americans. Jenny Latin 1 was used with our ninth graders. And we experimented with Matin Latin in third grade 1 year because it was so user-friendly to parents. But we basically have gone back to the tried and true. In grades 3, 4, and 5, we presently have about 198 students enrolled. And this past year, we had a pilot program which we initiated where the third grade teachers each taught their own Latin class. You're going to see evidence of their great success in some of the clips we're sharing with you this morning from the children in the third grades. One thing that strikes me is I remember when I first started teaching Latin, it seemed to be a very daunting task. Don't be overwhelmed. We have a master teacher who is our model, and he who has called you to this noble calling will equip you to do the job to which he has called you. This actually goes back to our Creator who gathered the children around him as we should gather the children around us. He is our enabler from the beginning and to the very end. So be confident in that strength that is your source. As Latin teachers, we bring the essence of words from their roots in antiquity to the modern words developed to suit present needs. The word astronaut, which is one of my favorite words, never existed till the 20th century. It comes directly from two Latin root words, astrum, which means star or constellation, and nauta, sailor. And what is an astronaut? Indeed, an astronaut is one who sails among the stars, one who boards a spaceship and literally uses this modern vessel to sail among the stars and constellations, gleaning information that will benefit mankind for generations to come. What a perfect word for such a noble mandate. Since the beginning of time, through written words, symbols, and signs, hieroglyphics written on cavern walls, man has attempted to communicate his thoughts clearly and concisely in order to facilitate the orderliness of his world, to develop his relationships, to get the jobs done that needed to be done, and to share those ideas that were so important to him. One of my favorite characters in church history is Martin Luther. And the gift that he gave us in seeking sola scriptura, sola fides, only the scriptures, only faith. At the time, Martin Luther was steeped in the Roman Catholic Church, and he noticed something that was very erroneous creeping up, and that was all the traditions and embellishments that had been added to the doctrine of the church. And he was led by God's Holy Spirit to clarify that truth and to go to that source, sola scriptura, sola fides. And, of course, he was an instrument that was responsible for one of the greatest movements in church history, the Protestant Reformation. These are some of the links we have from Latin in antiquity to the present day. You might ask, why do we study Latin in a world where Spanish seems to be so important or other modern languages seem to be important? Why in the world are we teaching our children Latin? Well, the reasons for this are legion. We can see how important it is to select just the right word at the right time. Even the slightest variation can give an entirely different message. I'd like to share with you some of my own faux pas. My husband was assigned to a project in France, and I had taught French for several years, and I thought I had a pretty good command of the language. until one day I greeted the daughter of a good friend whom I hadn't seen in several years. And I told her, "Vous avez des jambons longs." I should have said, "Vous avez des jambes longues." I told her she had long hams instead of long legs. That was my attempt to tell her how tall she had grown. Another friend exited from one of the grandest salons in Paris with a new hairstyle. And I wanted to tell her how beautiful she looked. And I said to her, "Quel cheval magnifique," telling her she had beautiful horses instead of beautiful hair. Those are just some of the examples of the importance of clear communication and using just the right word at the right time. Modern communication can be very passing. Latin roots grow like a strong tree. We can see a tree with deep roots, and that tree bears great fruit. Now, slang, on the other hand, and vernacular that comes and goes in passing, doesn't last very long. Words can be very cyclical. Those of you who have teenagers might have heard your teenagers say recently, "There goes prettiness down the street," adding that suffix "-ness" to the word "pretty," making a new expression. Or, "This tastes taco-ish," instead of saying "it tastes like a taco." Anybody here have teenagers? Have you heard some of these expressions? Some of you may have had "zuff" for dinner last night. That's pizza. And if someone comes up and says, "Sup, dude," that really means, "What's going on in your life, sir?" But those expressions will come and go. And texting has a whole language of its own. I have a young daughter who texts me all the time, and I still respond to her with a heading, salutation, body, closing, and signature. And she says, "You really don't have to do that, Mom." Well, my texting vernacular is not very sharp. And one of my recent little communications to her ended with LOL, which I thought meant lots of love. "Mom, it means laughing out loud at you." So I'm being educated in this current texting vernacular as well. One of my favorite reasons for teaching Latin is its rootedness and its link to the teaching of English grammar. All of our English grammar patterns spring directly from the Latin. And for many years, I taught high school English. And teaching of grammar today in our government schools seems to be like a lost art. But it's wonderful to see that our English grammar, the parts of speech and their functions, the uses of the words, they spring directly from Latin grammar. And so whenever I'm teaching Latin, it reinforces my colleagues who are teaching the English grammar in their classes. And the children see the relationship so readily. The parts of speech are the same. The functions of the words in the sentence are the same. Now, the contrasts, there are two areas where English grammar and Latin grammar contrast. One is in word order. In English, we usually have a subject noun followed by the verb transitive, and the direct object follows that verb transitive. John ate an apple. In Latin, word order is not exact. Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, the verb will come at the end of the sentence after that direct object. So that's one of the areas of difference. The other is with adjective noun phrases. In English, we put the adjective before the noun. We say pretty girl, tall boy, exciting conference. In Latin, she's not a pretty girl, she's a girl pretty. Most of the time, the adjective will follow the noun that it modifies. And again, I can't say enough that the beauty of teaching English grammar is that it does link directly to the Latin. One skill reinforces the other. And that's why I always employ those Shirley Grammar jingles. How many of you use Shirley Grammar for your teaching of English? It's a great way to parse each word in a sentence. I'd like to share with you another excerpt of some of our children doing one of the Shirley Grammar chants. English grammar came straight from the Latin grammar. And so we're going to start with parts of a sentence. and our Shirley Grammar jingle about a sentence. Are we ready? I'll say it with you.
A sentence, sentence, sentence is complete, complete, complete when five simple rules it meets, meets, meets. It has a subject, 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 and a verb, verb, verb. It makes sense, sense, sense with every word, word, word. Add a capital letter, letter, and an end mark, mark. Now we're finished, and aren't we smart? Now our sentence has all its parts. Remember, subject, verb, complete sentence, capital letter, and an end mark, too. That's what a sentence is all about.
Excellent job. Now you have the definition of a sentence with a southern accent by some of our fourth grade students. I always teach the children the basic rules for, or the formulas for finding the stem or the base for nouns and verbs. We have a little jingle that says, you get your stem or your base from the genitive case, singular. And as George Grant aptly pointed out this morning, second fiddles are very important. That second case in Latin, that genitive case, is very important because that gives us the root or the stem for each of our nouns. With verb endings, I always tell the children that the Romans were a very barbaric society and they used to go around chopping off lots of heads. I always assure them that in our Latin class, I will not chop off any heads, but we will chop off some tails. The tails of those present active infinitives are chopped off, and the stems are found for the verbs. And if you listen to another clip of our children telling you how to find those verb stems.
How do you find a verb stem? Joe.
Chop off the tail and blocks it in the stem.
Together.
Chop off the tail and box in the stem.
You won't forget that one. Music is a key component in our Latin classes. Be sure to use the gifts that God has given you. You don't have to be an expert singer. The children love to sing at the grammar stage, and they will be so responsive to your lead. Another third grade class is featured now doing a simple marching cadence to reinforce some of those rather bland grammar facts.
So let's sing our chant that helped how we learned that.
Third grade Latin, we've been told.
Third grade Latin, we've been told.
It's the home of language gold.
It's the home of language gold.
We must box out, find our stem.
We must box out, find our stem.
Chop off letters, move with them.
Chop off letters, move with them.
We can add our endings now.
We can add our endings now.
Check our work and take a bow.
Check our work and take a bow.
Thank you.
Again, following that musical methodology, we can apply some more grammar facts to music. And the children are going to sing. I'm going to sing with them. And I'm going to show you some hand motions that I have added to this when I have taught this with some third grade classes.
We've been talking about the American Revolution and the militia. Militia is a derivative. What is the Latin word militia comes from? Ian.
Miles.
Miles is correct. What is the English translation? Tom.
Soldier.
Soldier is correct. So let's count some Roman soldiers. Ready?
Unas, duas, tres, Romani, quattuor, quinquas, sex, Romani, septem, octo, nona.
Soldiers. Now, this next particular sound off that you're going to hear originated with one of the word lists from Wilson's Primer 1. We incorporated the vocabulary from that list, and it was seasonally very appropriate because it was around Easter time, so that made it especially meaningful for the children as well. They so enjoyed learning their individual parts and putting it all together to read a story or to tell a story about Jesus, the church, and the setting of the redemption.
Latin sound off.
Jesus est Solus Meus. Jesus is my Lord.
Christus ex rex. Christ is King.
Apostle Erontus Scipuli Christi. The apostles are followers of Christ.
Sunus Scipulus Christi. I'm a follower of Christ.
Evangelium Anno. I love the good news.
Escipia est Corpus Christi. The church is the body of Christ.
Biblia Sacra est Verbum Dei. The Holy Bible is the Word of God.
Pax Vobiscum. Peace be with you.
Christus Mortem Vicit. Christ has conquered death.
Fides est Donum Dei. Faith is a gift of God.
Jesus Christus est Spes Nostrum. Jesus Christ is our hope.
Jesus est Panis Vitae. Jesus is the bread of life.
Verbum Dei, Verbum Est. The Word of God is true.
Credo in unum Deum. I believe in one God.
Predico nomen Christi on mundum. I proclaim the name of Christ to the world.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Jesus rex iud eorum. Jesus killed the Jews.
Resurrexit sicut dixit. Alleluia. He has risen, as you said. Alleluia.
Well done, third grade.
You can hear the excitement in their voices as they recited that sound off. Well done. Now we can apply that same classical method to rhyme and rhythm and incorporate it with music. We do that so often. Children really engage in these activities. And rhythm, I found, seems very important to set those grammar concepts in stone. Let me show you a few of the ways that we do that, again, featuring some of our third grade classes.
So let's sing the conjugation of amo. In class, what does amo mean?
I love.
Good, are we ready? Here we go.
Amo, amas, amat.
Amas, amas, amat.
Amo, amas, amat.
Amas, amas, amat.
I love, he loves, he loves. We love you all of it. I love, he loves, he loves. We love you all of it.
Thank you.
We teach the body parts with the song Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes.
When the militia got together, they had to be ready. That means they had to be fit. So they might want to do their calisthenics or their exercises. Ready?
Caput numeri, genua diggity, genua diggity, genua diggity. Caput numeri, genua diggity. Well, of copra.
Faster.
Caput numeri, genua diggity, genua diggity, genua diggity. Caput numeri, genua diggity. Well, of copra.
A little bit faster.
Caput numeri, genua diggity, genua diggity, genua diggity.
Don't let anyone tell you that Latin's a dead language. That was a pretty lively class, and they got lots of exercise as well. Now, we've seen lots of opportunities to address the needs of our oral learners, those who are our audio learners, those who learn by hearing. Make sure that you give those visual learners opportunity to learn as well. Remember, we have so many charts at our disposal. They provide an excellent resource when incorporating the visual with the auditory. So make sure you utilize those charts that are available in your textbooks and in from various sources. One of the questions I've often been asked is how do you integrate all these activities into the curriculum with only a limited daily amount of instructional time to cover grammar and the basics? I have a mantra that I employ, and it's see it, say it, spell it, write it, apply it. And we use every moment in class. If I had three words to share with you to take away today, it would be integrate, integrate, integrate. Sometimes we'll put a little blip on the board that says word of the day. And a student may be reading a word in their novel in third, fourth, or fifth grade that has a Latin root. And they can go up to the board and just write their word. And if we have a few minutes at the end of class, we'll say, can you tell us about that word? And they tell us about the Latin root and its relationship to the word they've just learned. Board drills are very important. Children at the grammar stage love to write on the board. How many of your children clamor when you say, would somebody like to go up to the board and put the chant on? Almost every hand goes up. Utilize those moments. Have them write their verb endings and their noun chants on the board. We have a practice several days a week where we have what we call a round robin vocabulary drill. Whatever vocabulary the children are working on with that particular unit, I'll play a little game called Earn Your Seat. And that means that when I call out the word, the child has to give me the meaning of the word. And when they give it to me, they can be seated. They've earned their seat. And when everyone's seated, the game is over. It's a great, simple way to reinforce those vocabulary words. Our third grade children have Latin 30 minutes a day, Monday through Friday. Our fourth graders have 35 minutes, Monday through Friday. And our fifth graders have 45 minutes, again, Monday through Friday. And again, part of our teaching is that we have 1 week I'll present the new vocabulary, and we'll have a quiz on that week. And, of course, I'm teaching grammar concepts that we're weaving in all along. The second week, we have a test. And that test incorporates those vocabulary words very often in sentences or with the grammar concept that I'm teaching or focusing on. We have, of course, those tests and quizzes are great measures to see how well they're learning. Before every major test, we have a game that covers all the material that's going to be on the test, meaning all those concepts are drilled. And if we've studied bird vocabulary that week, we might have the eagles against the falcons. They love to do boys against girls. And during the Atlantic Coast Conference basketball season around here, they love to be Carolina against Duke or State against Carolina. So those games, the children at this age love to show what they know. And those games are a great source of fun and a great way to prepare for those tests. Now, I found that the year of Latin instruction has a rhythm of its own. And seasonally, there are features that we incorporated into our classroom schedule. In August, when the school year begins, we spend a great deal of time on basics. Of course, everything is new to our third graders. Fourth and fifth graders spend a good deal of time reviewing vocabulary, chants, and their endings from the previous year. And I always have a back-to-school vocabulary and what I call my gentility vocabulary. How do we say, yes, please, no, thank you? How do I say, please be seated? Those things that make our classroom quite genteel places to be. In September and October, we continue along with the same vein. Sometime in September, we do a drawing called Familia Meam Amo, I Love My Family, where the children will draw a picture of their family engaged in a favorite activity. And sometimes I find the extended family members that might live with them and some of the favorite things about their family that they'd like to share. This is always a great experience for the children, and it's a great way to reinforce that family vocabulary, mother, father, sister, brother, grandmother, grandfather, and so on. October lends itself to the presentation of Harvest Supplementary Vocabulary Lists. Now, in October in North Carolina, you'll find pumpkins everywhere. And one of the children's favorite words in Latin is melo peppo. That's the word for pumpkin. And they come up with a list of their favorite fruits and vegetables. They have to use the Latin English dictionary to look the words up. We formulate the list, and when they complete it, we create individual cornucopia pictures with the abundance of those harvest blessings spilling forth from that horn of plenty. And they get to use this in November either as a centerpiece for their Thanksgiving table or as a means of sparking discussion with their family members about God's gracious bounty to us. In November, we present the third graders with another link from antiquity, the opportunity to create a litany of thanksgiving set to simple Gregorian chant. Now, the children come up with a myriad list of what they are thankful for, everything from their nice soft bed to their puppy dog. And they just are so creative in creating these lists. I'm going to give you a little sample of that simple Gregorian chant form. Two examples would be, Pro familiam meam Deo gratias, for my family, thanks be to God. And then another, Pro Deo et pro patria Deo gratias, for God and my country, thanks be to God. It's really simple, and the children love it because in November, we print it up for them, and they get to take it home, and this becomes their prayer at the family dinner table. And they lead their parents, grandparents, and siblings, and if for once, they're able to lead the way for their older relatives to follow, and they are thrilled with that experience. Again, make Latin alive as much as you can, and the children really do enjoy it. In addition to seasonal topics, in the months of January through March, we spend lots of time translating Aesop's fables. I also go to mythology and take the story of Narcissus as one example, the story of Persephone or Proserpina, as her Roman name is called, and how we got the four seasons. The children are delighted with these stories. They also receive an overview of the 12 major Olympian deities, both their Greek and Roman names, their exploits, and their symbols. Our fifth graders begin a read-aloud of the Odyssey in August as we begin the school year, and we finish this in May, and they look forward to these stories each week when we have story time. Here's a picture of our fifth graders at one of their assemblies sharing about what they've researched about the Roman gods and goddesses.
Join us as we share through a brief sketch of the major Olympian gods and goddesses we have in our course of Latin study. You just may want to dig deeper into their stories for yourself.
Welcome to the world of drama, tragedy, war, vengeance, excitement, intrigue, and imagination.
We are privileged and blessed to know the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the magnificent plan He has for us within the context of our classical Christian worldview.
My Greek name is Zeus, and in Roman mythology, I am known as Jupiter. I am the king of the gods and rule over all from my throne on Mount Olympus. I demand respect and often request ambrosia, the food of the gods, and sweet nectar, the drink of the gods. I get what I want. My symbol is the thunderbolt and the eagle. I preside over the natural world and am often being credited with giving rain, snow, thunder, and lightning to the earth.
I am the daughter of Demeter, Ceres, the Greek comet Persephone, and to the Romans I am known as Proserpina. Caught against my will and my mother's, Hades, also known as Pluto, made me the queen of the underworld. Ask him how we got the four seasons. Now that is quite a story.
I am Helios, the sun god, and I am one of the lesser Greek gods. Why do I think I am so important? It could be because if my responsibility was to drive my chariot of fire across the sky pulled by four flaming steeds, causing sunrise and sunset every 24 hours, No, there is an important job.
I was very busy last month to the Greek town known as Eros, the god of love. The Romans call me Cupid. My arrows travel wherever they will, uniting hearts or breaking them at my whim. Valentine cards and wishes feature me as I go about my business. Of course, the bow and arrow are my symbols, and the chirps often accompany me on my adventures. We hope we've given you a little taste of the many adventures found in the study of mythology as it relates to the classics. We are enjoying our journey through history from Mount Olympus to Greece, Rome, and beyond. Thank you for joining us.
Again, some Roman gods and goddesses with southern accents. February is our time when we present the story of St. Valentine, and it forms the springboard for discussion of pagan versus Christian values, the persecution of the Christians. And at this time, several years, I've had the children make Valentine cards for their parents, and those familiar words, I love you, ego amo te, are taken home and shared with their parents. I always tell the story of Julius Caesar and the Ides of March on March 15th. And again, they learned the story of betrayal because Caesar was killed at the hands of his best friend, Brutus. March, April is usually Eastertide, and we have the children make bookmarks which say, Resurrexit, sequit, dixit, alleluia. He is risen as he said, alleluia. And they share these bookmarks with their friends or take them home as a gift, or they put them in their Bibles. When the children learn the quotation ex libris, I always give them little book plates to put in a favorite book, because that means from the books of, and they put their name under that term, and they remember that little expression quite well because they have that concrete example in hand. End of the year is filled with culmination sort of exercises or activities. One year, the children actually constructed models of Roman villas, apartments, the Colosseum. And one really talented group made the Circus Maximus out of a cake. And it looked like an authentic Circus Maximus. And they really liked the fact that they could eat it after the presentation to their classmates. Their creativity never ceases to amaze me. When we were a young school with a small student population, we were able to stage a Roman banquet at the end of the school year. This was a great motivator because our A students got to be the guests at the banquet, and our B students were the servers. Several courses were served, entertainment such as poetry readings, juggling, musical performances, all in authentic costume. Girls were regaled in their pallas and stolas. The gentlemen were in their Roman togas. And we raided every hardware store in the Cary area to get enough chamois material to make authentic Roman soldiers, authentic Roman sandals with leather laces. They were absolutely thrilled with these works of art. The banquet and banquet hall preparations were made with the help of many eager and enthusiastic parents. A good time was had by all, and this was an example of learning by doing at its very best. I'm a firm believer that Latin cannot be taught in a vacuum. You must incorporate the culture, geography, history, and literary facets of Latin to really flesh out the curriculum. And this also enables the children to put what they're learning into context. Some enrichment ideas and keys to success that I've seen over the years. Always address the children's five senses as often as you can when you're teaching them Latin. Make it come alive for them. Engage them in activities that they'll remember. Don't forget those charts for those visual learners. Audio learners, we do so much orally, they can't help but get it when they hear it. It's interesting to note that some of the children love to learn by touching and tasting and smelling. Well, when I tell the story about Proserpina and her half year in Hades because she ate 3 pomegranate seeds, I bring in pomegranates. Some of the children have never seen a pomegranate. And when they experience tasting it for the first time, you'd think you'd given them $1 million. Many parents come to me and say, I can't tell you how many pomegranates I've bought in the past month since you opened that can of worms. Our children today know what Snickers bars and lollipops are like, but I always try to teach them what their friends from antiquity would have enjoyed. Again, you'd be amazed to see how many children have never seen a dried fig or never tasted a date. And I tell them that those were the sweets that the children in the Roman culture used to enjoy. Assemblies are a big part of our curriculum. At the grammar stage level, we have 9 classes, which means 9 assemblies throughout the year. And the teachers are always gracious enough to let me have some time to incorporate Latin in those assemblies. A couple of years ago, one of our most fabulous finds was Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat. It was something the children could perform. You can hear the iambic pentameter in the Latin as this clip will be shown, but from one of our 5th grade classes.
Welcome to our rendition of the Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. Our 5th grade class will perform a children's classic presented it with Latin and English. Let the show begin.
Some say that Latin is a dead language. We all do not agree. Listen to the lively words of Dr. Seuss. Come with us and see. Excerpts from Cottus Pentisatus, the Cat in the Hat.
Quilla bellis est a doctora Seuss.
Which was written by Dr. Seuss.
Primo in Greece compositus.
First English translation.
Nunc in sermonum latinum ab Glenavera Tunberg et Terentia Tunberg conversus.
And now in Latin by Jennifer Tunberg and Terence Tunberg.
The sun did not shine, it was too wet to play, so we sat in that house all that cold, cold wet day.
Imber totum diem fluir, urti autum semper fluir. Tida indis nos manera, nunc concotes sol splendera.
So all we could do was to sit, and we did not like it, not one little bit.
Dum sedamus sociosi, somnolenti stomachosi, dicos erai displacera, mihi semper sixedera.
Know some games we can play, said the cat. I know some new tricks, said the cat in the hat. A lot of good tricks, I'll show them to you. Your mother will not mind at all if I do.
Strobas vobis demonstrabo, novus ludos in decabo, quibus virui vos uabit, nepomatur me culpabit.
But our fish said, no, make that cat go away. Tell the cat in the hat you do not want to play. He should not be here, he should not be about, he should not be here when her mother is out.
On to repenta, recta, mawit, piscus, no steret, negawit, ludos, cati, tolerandos, esse, no bis, ladandos. Dixit, piscus, discadendum, contum, statum, nec vedendum. Quia, mater, no madeira, ludos, poset, nec cavera. And after, much mayhem ensued. And then he ran out in the fast of the fox, the cat in the hat, and got hit with the box. Then, much more mayhem ensued. The fish was a wreck, and the house was a mess, and mother was on her way home in a dress.
And of course, you've seen a clip of our mythology assembly that the children had so much fun making their costumes, and I'm sure getting lots of help from parents as well, and they very much enjoy that activity. I like to use the Latin Vulgate. I've left on the front table some examples of some of the samples of the books I refer to constantly. The Latin Vulgate is the translation that I always use. As you heard, the Gospel of John with the 3rd graders, they memorized an excerpt from that. I usually teach my 4th graders the Lord's Prayer, the Pater Noster. And our 5th graders use Mary's song, the Magnificat. And that's from the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to show you a little clip from that assembly as well.
His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation.
Et misericordia eius in progenies et progenies clementibus et om.
He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts.
Fecit potentium in braccio suod spersit superbos mente cordis sui.
Taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. As Mary was obedient to God her Father, may we too be obedient to our Heavenly Father.
May we be of saints, she said. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
I've said how important it is to use every minute that you have for instruction. I usually put a fact on the board a couple of times a week. For example, Romulus and Remus were raised by a she-wolf. And sometimes these facts from history or geography or mythology become bonus questions on a test. So that normally the highest grade they can get is 100%, but they really like to get 102 or 3 if they can answer those questions on mythology or history or geography at the end of that test as well. Engage the children when you're teaching them Latin. Always make it an opportunity to show what they know. Get excited about it. Capitalize on their sense of loving to show what they know. At the end of the school year, we usually have with each class a Latin B, which is a review of all the year's vocabulary and many of the English derivatives which the children have discovered for themselves. I also give them an opportunity to maybe act out one of Aesop's fables. One of their favorites is the story Bacula Legata, which is the bundle of sticks. And the moral of that story is, united we stand, divided we fall. They love to act out little skits in class. I always tell the children, they'll come up to me Monday and say, can we have story day this week? And I'll say, if you finish all your work, we'll have it on Friday. And this is a great motivator. They love to hear stories about the Roman culture and the Roman civilization. Use every minute. Use those review games. Your excitement for your subject will breed enthusiasm on their part. I once had a child come up and say, Latin's my favorite subject. Jokingly, one fifth grader came to me at the end of the year one year and said, Mrs. Middleton, you're my favorite Latin teacher. You're my only Latin teacher. I'm the only one he'd had for 3 years. I still took it as a compliment. Derivative digs are a great deal of fun, and you're going to be able to experience a dig on your own today. You might see the flower pots that we have on these front tables. There are many adaptations to this game. By the end of the academic year, the students have learned hundreds of derivatives. And what we do is I usually put the word on a stick and we put it in a basin of sand. They have to dig it out. They have to come to the front of the room. And they look at their word and they might say, amateur. I think that comes from the word amo. And I'll say, what does amo mean? And they'll, most of the time they'll tell me, amo means I love. And I'll say, what do you think an amateur is? Well, I think it might be somebody who does something just because they love it, not because they're getting paid to do it. And then I say, now, do you think you could put that word in a sentence that proves to me that you know what it means? And they'll, one of them said one time, Michael Jordan began playing basketball as an amateur, but now he's a professional. We all in North Carolina know who Michael Jordan is. And again, you're going to get to play that game on the way out. Feel free to take two or three sticks. And in order to assure the fact that you won't get a duplicate, take two or three of the same color because they'll all be different. How how do we measure our success in teaching Latin? How do we know that the things that we're teaching the children are taking root? Well, of course, there are the tools, the tried and true tools of two or three daily assignments are given every week, and I correct everything, but I grade one or two of those assignments, and those grades are taken. Of course, the vocabulary quiz 1 week and the test at the end of every 2 weeks are, again, measures that we evaluate the children's learning by. Our classroom discussions tell me a lot about what they've taken in from our stories and from the things we've talked about in class. I once had a fifth grader come up and say, "Mrs. Middleton, I know why the Roman Empire didn't last very long." And I said, "Could you tell me your reasons?" And he said, "Any society whose motto is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, can't last very long." What wisdom from the words of a fifth grader. One of my very favorite moments in teaching Latin was at the end of a third grade year. A little third grade boy came running up to me and said, "Mrs. Middleton, I know what an escutcheon is." Now, that word wasn't in my daily vocabulary, so I very gingerly said, "What an interesting word. Can you tell me about it?" And he said, "Sure. We studied the word scutum, and a scutum's a shield. And here's a picture of my family's coat of arms. It's a shield with our name on it and all these things that are important to my family." That, to me, was one of the joys of teaching, because it showed me that that child had used the seven laws of teaching and had taken that little seed that I had planted when I taught that vocabulary word and made it his own, and came back to me all excited about what he had learned. It was a wonderful moment. Very often the children will come to me and say, "We went to the public library this week with my parents, and we got some books on mythology and history to read over Christmas break." That, again, is a thrilling experience for me, because I know that they caught that excitement and they want to learn more on their own. The proof is always in the pudding, and the children will come back and share with you the things that were meaningful to them. Very often, after years, I've had high school students come to me when they took their SATs and said, "Thank you so much for teaching me Latin. It really helped." The National Latin Exam is another tool that we use at Cary Christian School. It's sponsored by the American Classical League. How many of you are familiar with it? We've used it for the past 10 years at Cary Christian. I love it because it gives the children a chance to shine. They show what they know. In the past 11 years, in the past 10 years, we've had 11 perfect scores. Now, our fifth graders take this exam, and normally it's given to freshmen in high school. So at the end of the fifth grade, it's really in February or March of the fifth grade year, and they take the exam, and they are thrilled to see how they compared to students, hundreds of thousands of students all over the world. It's a great out-of-house tool for me to see how my children compare with children all around the world. And I also use it to modify my instructional emphases. For example, they may know very well how to pick the subject out of a sentence and translate a simple sentence, but they may need a lot more time on the words that govern the prepositions that govern the ablative case. And so my next year, I'll beef up that part of the curriculum and spend more time on it, whatever the results of the exam have shown me. In conclusion, some of the keys to success that we've all had the joy to experience as Latin teachers, I'd say to you, be confident in what you're doing. It seems like an overwhelming task at first, but we as teachers have to model for our children the fact that we're lifelong learners. And my coffee table books now are books on Roman history and mythology. Whenever I get a few minutes to sit down, I'm poring over those books these days. Be creative. Don't hesitate to use those gifts God has given you. Years ago, I was a high school English teacher, and I also taught drama, and we staged several musicals. I love to use music and drama in my classes. Be flexible. take time out from your plan to honor those children who have those escutcheon moments. Don't be afraid to let them come up and interrupt you to share what they have learned with you and with their classmates. Again, my three favorite words, integrate, integrate, integrate. My colleagues are wonderful about taking some words with Latin roots and making them part of their stellar speller list. Or if they're studying something in history that's related to Rome or the Romans, they'll incorporate that into their history class. Your colleagues are one of your best resources, and they're so gracious about wanting to integrate what you're doing. When my fifth graders are studying Roman numerals, the fifth grade math teacher does a unit on Roman numerals at the same time. So I can't tell you how invaluable that is. Don't forget to address all those learning modalities, those audio learners, those visual learners, those kinesthetic learners. They all need to be able to shine. And again, use the talents that God has particularly gifted you with to make your classes engaging and lively. And love what you do. God has planted in each of us that desire to teach. And when we love what we do, it's contagious. The children catch it too. You have many wonderful resources at your disposal, tremendous tools. I've left just a portion of my favorite books on the front tables. Feel free to peruse them on your way out. Bullfinch's Mythology is a great source. The Usborne books on mythology. Greek and Roman myths that you might find at your own local library. Of course, the Latin Vulgate for sacred scripture. And one year I had a wonderful parent who went to quia.com. It's a source on the internet. And she programmed every one of our Latin lists and put the lists online. We as a school pay for a subscription each year so that our children can log on. They can type in their little link for each list, and they get to play two or three games. They get to play hangman, a memory game, and a matching game. They love to use the computer to learn. So again, that's a great resource for you to tap into. I'd like to end today. Don't forget to participate on the derivative dig on your way out. Again, feel free to take two or three of the same color, and the instructions and some modifications for things that you may adapt this game to for your own use are on the back, so feel free to take those on your way out. Thank you so much for your attention this morning, and I'd like to open the time now for questions if you might have any. Yes. You know, if you wanted to just do some like things like how do you say please and thank you and name some of the vocabulary in the classroom, that would be great. I find that the grammar stage is really the best stage to start teaching the grammar of Latin because developmentally they're ready to handle that task. In the early grades, it would be great to maybe do it. I know I taught one of the second grade classes years ago, a little short blessing before meals, and they use that in their classroom. Little tidbits are great in the early stages, but the formal teaching, I think, is best begun at third grade. Any other questions? Yes. You just email me and I'll be glad to send them to you. I'll be glad to do that. Yes. Absolutely. We hear it all the time. One of my favorite answers to that question is, I always go back to Dorothy Sayers' essay. And, of course, she's the one that Doug Wilson used as a great resource when he began to bring to life again the classical Christian education movement in the United States. And Dorothy Sayers said years ago that any student who studied Latin at an early age would find every subject he or she took later on in life 50% easier. That's a great answer. And through my own life experience, I was blessed to be able to take 4 years of Latin in high school many, many years ago, and 2 years in college. And I can't tell you how many times I was an English major in college and how many references there are in English literature to Latin, to the Latin vocabulary development. When children learn the Latin roots, they can figure out any word when they know the root word. So those are some of the answers I would share when you're asked that question. Anyone else? Yes. I'm sorry. Pardon me? Up until 2 years ago, I taught 198 students, 9 classes a day, every day. And then God was very gracious and decided that I needed time to breathe. And we have a wonderful third grade teacher who came in and took all the Latin for third grade 1 year. And then this past year, each of the third grade teachers took their Latin. Yes, we teach it every day. Third graders have it for 30 minutes, fourth graders for 35, and fifth graders for 45. And I now teach 6 sections, the fourth and fifth grade. Yes, sir. You know, the American Classical League has the Junior Classical League, and they actually sponsor Latin clubs for students. And you could get some information by going to their website and finding that information. I know several years ago, with my sixth grade students, I formed a Latin club for just about a year, and the children had a Latin newsletter that they composed. And the newsletter had things like recipes from ancient Rome. It would have stories about the gods and goddesses. We always had the children could submit drawings, and we called it the Latin newsletter spell backwards. I can't pronounce it, but if you write it down, you'll see what it was. And they absolutely loved putting that together. We did that for about a year, but then, you know, as we started to get bigger, it's hard to have time for those activities. One of the joys about being a small school is that you can do some of those things on a small scale, that when we get big, we kind of, those things get lost in the shuffle. But there are some resources for you. Well, you know, it's interesting. So many times, when I first started teaching Latin at Cary Christian, I had a session for parents, and parents would come in scared to death. I don't know any Latin. How am I going to help my child? And after 3 or 4 months of instruction in the classroom, that parent learned a lot of Latin. You learn from your children. So I would just say set a very positive tone for Latin. Teach them how valuable it is. And once you start teaching the children really make their parents comfortable with it. And the children love knowing something that mom and dad don't know. And they're very eager to share what they're learning. So again, I understand where you're coming from, but I would just say be very positive and make it a rich experience for the children, and it will grow. Little by little, that seed will grow. Any other questions or comments? Thank you so much. You've been a wonderful audience this morning. Thank you.